Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Josiah Bryant, who is the founder at Bryant Digital. Growing up, digital marketing was the family industry. Josiah got his first taste of the industry as a middle school aged kid, hard coding HTML email funnels with his father for Fortune 500 IT companies. Josiah founded Bryant Digital in 2017 and is focused on serving his local community in Virginia Beach. Today, we're going to be discussing Josiah's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what would you say motivates you as an entrepreneur?
For me, I would say what really makes me excited and happy is the actual act of building something, the creation and like giving momentum to something new. So that's what really made me want to start Bryant Digital as a whole. And I would say that's what probably makes the agency model and agency business a good fit for me, because I really get to, you know, engage and nerd out on other people's businesses and really help out value and really like get in it, make it work, push it forward, and then sometimes phase out and go to the next project. So I would say that desire to build is probably one of my biggest strengths and one of my biggest weaknesses. And that really kind of fuels me for my work style.
That's awesome. And then, so I know a little bit about how you got into digital marketing, but talk about, you know, how you really developed that passion and that skill.
Yeah. So, you know, my uncle and my dad were both, you know, early .com agency guys. So, I mean, my uncle was, you know, using Photoshop to make TV graphics and banners for, you know, big churches around the country before Photoshop had layers, like back in the day when like drop shadow was the coolest, most mind-blowing thing ever. You know what I mean? So I just always grew up like really exposed to it. My dad, same thing. He got a pretty cool gig real early on, like in the early 2000s, doing like lunch and learns and like email funnels and like digital lead gen before it was really even a thing, even anyone knew what was going on. It worked really lockstep with like telemarketing back in the day. But that's kind of where I got my foot in the door, was working with him to build email templates and code out, you know, HTML emails and, you know, for 10, 20 bucks on the weekends, that kind of thing. And that's how I got really exposed to the whole world of marketing. He gave me a laptop when I was real young with Photoshop on it and was like, hey, play with this and learn this. And I was like, okay, cool. So I just have always been around technology and really influenced by the family to do that.
Yeah.
And then, with that being said, you know, early in the high school, or later in high school years, kind of like rebelled against the whole family business. It was like, you know, I'm gonna go work in restaurants. And I always had that kind of business mind as well. Mm-hmm. So I applied that for running and managing like restaurants and things like that. And then once I really was able to hone those, I guess, more people business skills, P&Ls, spreadsheets, numbers, I said, you know, working on a computer with those skills is a lot more is a lot more cost effective and makes a lot more sense than, you know, destroying my body and brain all day, not sleeping, drinking caffeine all day, working in restaurants, doing that. I'm gonna go back to the agency thing, and that's kind of how I got full circle back to where I am today.
Interesting. So yeah, tell us about, you know, Bryant Digital, and then, you know, what was really that deciding factor that you wanted to go out on your own?
Yeah, so I pretty much always knew since I was kind of like a younger kid, really, that I always wanted to do my own thing. I always kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, I was getting my older cousin in, you know, middle school to drive me to Sam's Club to buy cases of Red Bull and selling them for $5 a can at school. So I always had that weird like business savvy. I always knew I wanted to do something. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So basically, I took a job after I left the restaurants to go work for an agency up in New York for a little while. it was only a temporary thing. And I always had the mindset of trying to come home and start up my own shop after I really refined those skills and modernized them. So I moved back home to Virginia Beach, you know, moved in with my mom, slept on her couch, had really, you know, enough money to kind of get going. Was like, all right, I'm just going to do this business thing forever. I rented a little like office condo at Regis that was like $1,000 a month and slept on a couch. And like, that was my trade off. And I just started Bryant Digital. And then
yeah,
I was doing mostly SEO and web design at the time, which was kind of, I started more the paid traffic side. So that was where I excelled, but I had a really big need for like the content side of marketing. So like photo, video, the things that make it pretty on site. Anyone that started in, you know, web design, I'm sure has horror stories of getting started and you're waiting on clients for 2 years to send you the photos and text needed for their website. Yes. And the project never finished and you're like, oh, cool. So
yes,
I pretty much knew from the start, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to include everything so we could just get the project done, if nothing else.
Yep.
So I happened to re-link up with one of my friends I went to high school with that had just finished, traveling like up and down the entire East Coast, trying to be a landscape photographer. He traveled from, I believe, like Florida up to Alberta, Canada, slept in his car in the winter, was shooting photos, starting an Instagram page, and was really going deep on photo and video.
Amazing.
So we went out to go grab some coffee and I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm building some websites. I got the technical side. I'm good at sales. You're good at the content side. What if we kind of teamed up and put that together and we could just make the whole package? And he was like, yeah, I mean, I got nothing going on. Let's try it. And I had a client in mind. So we demoed that out for like a local car detailing company.
Yeah.
Like mobile detailing and that kind of stuff, paint corrections. And we had big success in that project, both had a lot of fun, and we just kind of rinse repeated that and worked the process down. And that's kind of how we got our initial gig and got started doing more of the full service marketing too.
Okay. Awesome. That's really interesting. And so what would you say really sets you guys apart from other agencies? What really makes you guys unique?
So for us right now, so when we first got started, it was probably just like our speed, efficiency, and price. You know, we were doing everything for everyone. We were pretty quick, good quality, real cheap. Now, I would say it's more of our strategy and expertise. We've really taken a step back and niched down a good bit. Not you won't really see it on our website, but just how we engage with clients, and because it's more of a referral business. There are really a couple businesses we understand very, very well. One is new construction building, like a community development. So mm-hmm. just bringing the expertise of digital along with understanding I co-broke relationships with agents and some of the zoning and permitting and sales stuff and the different rules and regulations in the industry. So having more of a strategic expertise tied to the digital to those industries helps a lot. Another one would be business to government. So we found another niche in like defense contracting, not working with the government, but working with government contractors and really understanding like the different contract vehicles they work through and the rules and the regulations, then being able to apply cool, pretty digital marketing fun stuff to that, but getting their business right now, that's probably our biggest competitive advantage.
Okay. Interesting. That's a really interesting, unique niche.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's probably half developed because we started out wanting to really just serve businesses in our area because we wanted to do the content and the full service thing. And, you know, Virginia Beach, biggest Navy base in the world, that's probably contributed to us saying, wow, okay, home building and government contracting seems to be the thing. And it's just kind of worked out and we've embraced that.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. Very cool. So what would you say, you know, in the early days when you were first starting out, what was one of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome?
So the biggest challenge in the beginning we had to overcome was really embracing the fact that when it's just me, and it was Kate at the time, my previous business partner, it was just the two of us. Like we needed work to start because we had to pay our bills, obviously. Like I was sleeping on a couch and had an office, yeah, nothing to do. We needed to take clients, right? But you cannot scale taking every client that comes to you. So really learning that we had to double, triple our prices and painfully say no and turn more business away than we accept was probably the biggest, hardest lesson, but the most transformative and important lesson once we really fully accepted that.
Interesting. Yeah, that's such a good point. And then, so, you know, fast forward today, what are some of the challenges that you have to overcome on a daily basis and how do you overcome those?
Yeah. Right now, since COVID, and really just because of the way I've found I like to work, we are a very, we're pretty much a 100% remote agency. I love my team, but I mean, I really am an introvert, and like the sales and client interactions that I get is enough. And I've been hanging out with my wife is enough interaction with other humans for me for like ever, you know? So it's balancing my, what's going to make me happy, engaging in building a team with what my team actually needs from me and giving them autonomy. So, and well, one, trying to find people that are going to perform and really thrive and like a fully pretty much autonomous environment where they're responsible for what they're doing and almost running their own company as well. But balancing that with giving them what they need and not letting things get too fragmented, because obviously that's probably the biggest balance, trying to balance what how I want to interact with my team, what my team needs from me, and then finding the right people to kind of mesh with my crazy introverted personality, I guess it would be.
No, it's a good point you bring up, because it's one of those things that if you're constantly doing things that's just draining your energy, you know, you're not going to have energy to then focus on things that really, you know, you're utilizing your strengths on. So it's definitely a good point, you know, hire people that, you know, that's their strength. If they're, you know, super extroverted and they love managing a team, have them manage that type thing.
Exactly. And for me, you know, I've always said, you know, I never want to scale up the agency to be too big, because at a certain point it becomes a people business or an HR company. And for me, that's like the most overwhelming, draining thought possible. I love the work. I love interacting with clients and having really meaningful, high value engagements. And then, you know, that's it. You know, I don't like the back end of all the people side that comes with it afterwards. So trying to juggle that. Obviously you have to have both, but trying to manage that, keep that into a well-defined box, I guess you would say.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a really good point. So I'd love to pivot a little bit and talk about sales within your agency and what that looks like. So I know you mentioned now you're mostly referral based, but so maybe before the referrals started coming in, what did your sales process look like? How were you bringing in leads into your agency and closing those prospects?
Yeah. So initially, like I said, my background first getting into the industry was originally like SEO, and then I went more paid traffic. So SEO was really a big focus from the start. Any marketing term related to Virginia Beach were pretty much page one or top three or something. You know, before I was a year out of starting the company, I'm making the website and starting the rankings was my first thing. So that helped really get us going and still does lead us to lots of, at least the ability to pitch and try to bid on a lot of client contracts and deals right now as well. The other thing that I really did a lot in the beginning was more networking events and trying to just get to different groups and meet people at mixers or country club events or local, you know, chamber of commerce type events or like BNI events, things like that. I don't really network anymore just because at this point it's not really worth the time in my opinion, but when you're getting started, 100% is worth the time because all you have is time. So, and some of those relationships that I was able to develop in those first 2 or 3 years, I still get referrals from to this day, and they're some great friends that I've made. So that was pretty good. But now it's mostly just organic SEO and referrals from existing clients. And we're trying to, again, because like I said, I'm at a weird spot where I really don't want to scale too big. I just want to have a good oiled machine and some key players where we're able to more build our lives around the business than have to, you know, change how we actually like to operate and want our lives, our families and our wives and things like that to look to support the business.
Yeah.
So now it's more like, let's just do really good, meaningful work for less people and just take on the magic clients that do come across. And we're like, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah. Awesome. So if you've determined that you want to work with a prospect, do you have any, you know, sales techniques that you've discovered along the way that are really effective for closing, you know, that
kind of, I would say my sales process is more just like one of radical transparency, to be honest. I feel like I want to, one, listen to what they're looking for and clearly say like, are we a good fit or not a good fit, or give them an insight into how we're going to be able to apply our strategy or thought process to their need, and then what it's going to look like and who on our team is going to actually work on that. I don't really have any sales processes as far as like things to like convince or overcome objections. It really is just a matter of, one, do we click? do you like talking to me, and do I like even talking to you in this interview process? And could I actually see myself wanting to deal with you and talk to you like week after week to build something cool? Cause that's really how I'm looking at it. Like, do I want to plug into your company? I feel like agencies should be interviewing their clients as much as their clients are interviewing them, because at the end of the day, you're pretty much integrating into their company if you're going to do good, meaningful work for them. So it's more just radical transparency of like, is this really a good fit all around? And let's just talk about what that looks like.
Yeah. No, I love how you mentioned that you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. Yeah. Because, you know, you bring on a client who's not a good fit, and it's going to impact your team so heavily, you know, and
draining,
really put a wrench in the gears of everything. So it's a
100%. It just bogs everything down. It takes away from other meaningful work, and it just takes away from just happiness and mental clarity at the end of the day. And you know, I really believe the business is here to serve us and serve me, we're here to serve that. So if it's just destroying everything and making everyone stressed out and taking away from other good, meaningful work, it's not worth it.
Yep. Just all about finding that good fit.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you create really happy, loyal clients who are going to give you referrals at the end of the day?
One, I would say, again, like that term radical transparency, it really is never saying we're going to do more than we're going to do. If anything, under promise, over deliver, and really just be very intentional and meaningful for everything that you say and do. And if you do say you're going to do something, do it 100%.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. It's just telling the truth, doing what we say we're going to do, and not overhyping or overpromising results and never chasing a short-term win. Because I really look at it, if we do engage with a client, we're on their team and we're invested in their success and their goals as much as they are. So it just, you have to be accountable to that at the end of the day.
Yeah. So how do you integrate that radical transparency into your team culture?
Probably just, again, giving everyone autonomy, but then making it so no one is ever scared to bring up shortfalls or things that may be issues or problems. And if anything, we're going to be more upset if we get closer to the finish line and it's not brought up. So like always being out in front of an issue, right, always being out in front of something we need from each other internally or a client, and never being the agency to sit by while the milestone's coming up and then say, oh, sorry, we were waiting on you guys for XYZ. Like, we always want to be extremely proactive and out there and making sure that we're driving the ship. And you know, it allows us to do better work if we at least feel the ownership of we're driving the ship. So I would say really instilling a culture of ownership, like almost like extreme ownership in everyone, where they feel like the company that we're working on is their company, it's their project, and it's just important to their success overall.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome within your agency?
The biggest challenge was probably right at the start of COVID. I'd mentioned that I had a business partner when I first got started. It was one of my really good friends from being younger. And to be honest, neither one of us could have found any success without each other, because we just had altering different skill sets that were both needed to kind of make our finished product.
Yeah.
However, like as we grew and, you know, got to 3 employees, 5 employees, 6 employees, and we were all very different business model at that point. We were all in person, had an office location. It really was turning into more of that traditional agency you'd see.
Yeah.
And one, it didn't really make me super happy, because it was becoming more of a people company than a company that does, again, awesome work quickly. And he was amazing at his work, but when it came to managing a team of people to do his work, didn't really excel at that, to be honest. So there was just a lot of underlying friction between the two of us as partner owners, of just as the company was growing, our defined roles weren't what they once were before, and what we both wanted were different. So we at the start of COVID, thankfully we decided to not put off that hard conversation, and we both sat down and said, all right, like, let's throw everything out on the table. Let's be real. Like, what's making you unhappy? What's making me unhappy? What's a way forward? What does it look like? And at that point, we pretty much decided to split up part of the business. He was going to take some clients, go his own way. I was going to take some clients in my team, go his own way. We were going to go virtual with all the staff. We were going to get rid of the office space, just basically have a really nice amicable divorce type deal and just make sure everything made sense. And because of that, we're still pretty good friends today. We don't really work together in much professional capacity, but hang out. We're able to have, you know, maintain that friendship. And we were able to really save the business and create two businesses that are very different now. Heath does more like high-end media and content. I'm doing more business strategy and consulting, but we are both able to grow those chunks and now build our own things separately. And we're both happy for that. So that was probably the biggest crazy challenge and road bump that we had. And it was just that matter, that thing of like, you have to have the hard conversation. You can't put it off or it's going to explode. You have to face it and deal with it.
Yeah. Well, it was probably really nice to be able to save those overhead costs too at the start of COVID. You know, I've just heard time and time again, agencies had all their clients or like so many of their clients just drop off like right at the gate. And like oftentimes they came back, but there's just, you know, that little month or two or you know, three of just like pure panic.
It was crazy. We are probably, I don't know. We were in a very weird, fortunate spot. We cut all these expenses just because honestly, it naturally made sense. It wasn't really COVID driven, which was pretty cool. So it just happened to work out. And then we had a couple new clients in our pipeline kind of draw, but COVID for us was almost very transformative in a good way because we didn't lose any clients, which was pretty crazy. Everyone sticked with us. Like, shout out to our clients. They were awesome.
Yeah.
They didn't freak out. They were like, no, let's figure it out. And if anything, I think a lot of them were of the mindset of if the world is melting down, those who continue to market are going to gobble up market share. It's not time to be defensive. It's time to kind of attack.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And it made some people that had some digital transformation type projects that were in back of mind say, okay, we have to do this now. Like we don't have an option. So it was, it worked out.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to hear. So do you have any productivity hacks that you use to help you save time?
So waking up early, probably, you know, I'm a big proponent of getting up around, you know, 5:30 and just having some Zen time and thinking about the day.
Yep.
The other thing is, I live and die by Google Calendar and Basecamp. Without those two pieces of technology, I wouldn't be able to function. I have to mark down every single thought in a to-do list or with a time period, or I'm not going to remember it tomorrow. So
yeah, that's probably the way for me. Awesome. Perfect. And then what about with regards to your team? Are there any productivity hacks to make your team more productive?
Touch base with them every once in a while to make sure that like the objective is understood. But for my team, I've really learned to just leave them alone, you know, checking every once in a while to make sure nothing crazy is happening. Make sure that they understand that if there's a roadblock to reach out, but I try not to micromanage at all. Just let me know if you need something. And that's pretty good. And again, that works well because of just the people on the team. That's not going to work with everyone and my management style and what I like as well. So just kind of creating that culture of like autonomy helps a lot. And it's been pretty good.
Yeah. So when you're hiring a new team member, you look for them to make sure that they are an independent worker who is like very like self-motivated, self-driven person.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the ideal candidate I would want is someone that really was freelancing in the past and maybe for some reason or another just couldn't really get to the next level and make it work, but they like that type of style. Like I just would want a team of almost all independent guys. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely. Yeah. They're the best type of workers to have. I agree. So knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would have done differently when you were first starting out?
Yes, I probably, well, I don't know if I could say that really, because obviously every win or loss that you take gets you to the place where you are today. So like, I don't really know if I could say I would change too much. I would say one thing though, is probably just trying to understand that there is an ideal client earlier and, the power of no, like knowing the power of no is probably what I learned, wish I learned a little bit earlier in my career for sure.
Awesome. So where do you see Brian Digital in 5 years time?
In 5 years time, right now we're really, cause like we've been doing a lot of work with companies that are doing government contracting. We're really trying to potentially now look into what is in that arena for us, maybe actually working more directly with, you know, government agencies for various, you know, marketing type or software development services. So kind of feeling that out, but really right now, just trying to keep the team happy, trying to really maintain everyone's work-life balance, trying to keep good, meaningful projects in the door and just cruise. Don't really have a bunch of crazy growth goals, to be honest.
Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
For me, hands down, and I wake up 5:30 every day. I got to get into the Bible every day for some period of time. So like for me, that's the go-to, whether it's, you know, Psalms, Proverbs or something I'm reading like Romans or James. I mean, I'm in the Bible every day.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like? I know you touched on this a little bit, but is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, basically, you know, up early, you know, typically around 5:30, pray, read my Bible. Typically, my wife gets up with me around 6. You know, we drink some coffee. We maybe read a little bit from there, take a shower, hit a workout. And then by 8:30, I'm online working. That's pretty much my overall flow for the day.
Nice. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't really have anyone in the business world that I keep tabs on, to be honest, or look into their routines much now.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
Hands down, Basecamp. Like without Basecamp, my head would fall off my shoulders and I wouldn't know what I was doing at any given time.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Say no. And really take control of your time and look at clients more as partners. And like, there's someone that you're really like tying yourself to. So think of it in that way, like, would I marry this person? You know, not to that extreme, but like, look at it as a really serious engagement, because ideally you want to work with these clients for years and years and years. So they have to be like a good person from a business standpoint and maybe just like a ethics and personality standpoint as well.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Josiah. It was great having you on the show and I really enjoyed our conversation.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much. Catch you later.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.